Hello and welcome to Gin and Spooks. I'm Laura.
I'm Emma.
And what are you drinking today, Emma?
Blackberry gin.
Ooh, I'm drinking Gordon's pink gin.
Ooh, fancy.
And lemonade. And what are we talking about today?
Serial killers.
One of your favourite topics.
I know. I love those killers.
Wait.
On today's episode, we've got a special guest, Morgina.
Hi, guys.
Morgina also likes serial killers.
Yeah.
We have each picked a serial killer to do a little bit of research on, or some of us I think were fans already of our chosen serial killer,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to tell you a little bit about the gross things they got up to. So, Morgina, you can start.
Right, so, my serial killer is Golden State Killer, which some people may have heard of. He's recently been captured, so it's still going on in the news at the minute. And this guy, Joseph DeAngelo, was actually 72 years old when he got caught.
Old as balls.
Old as bones, yeah. He actually was active in the mid-70s, so for over 40 years.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, he hadn't been caught. He's only recently been caught due to DNA advancements. So what's interesting about this guy is, so he's labelled as the Golden State Killer, but he, because this has gone over such a long period of time, he actually changed his MO. So originally he didn't start out as a killer, he started out as a burglar. That then sort of escalated into rape, which then escalated into murder, as you do.
You know, just cash, just walking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm finding this burglaring shit a bit boring now, I'm going to up the ante a bit.
A bit of raping.
Spicy! Yeah.
But yeah, so he's so he was originally called it's the something ransacker. I can't remember exactly the first part of it, but it's not so important. But what was really interesting about this guy, the thing that made me want to look into it so much, is because he's such a sicko. So obviously, me being interested in serial killers, I'm only interested in the really messed up ones.
Mm-hmm. Hide your wife, hide your kids.
Yeah. And this guy, even before he started raping and murdering, he was already fucked up. So they reckon he probably started committing crimes when he was about 17.
Starting young.
So, you know, as you do.
When I grow up, I want to be a serial killer.
And he was actually based in Sacramento, California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all of these guys are usually American, because they got problems. No offence.
No offence, Americans.
Yeah,
no Americans were harmed in the making of this episode.
Actually, quite a lot were, really, if you think about it. Actually, that's a lie. Mine are Canadian.
I'm Canadian.
She's part Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about this right now, because I'm going to have to edit the whole chunk out otherwise.
Yeah, all
right. Okay, sorry, carry on. Sorry.
We'll come back around. Yeah, so basically, Sacramento, California, mid-70s, this guy started committing crimes around about the age of 17. And what he started to actually do before he, like I said, did any rapings or anything like that, was breaking into people's houses and moving all of their shit while they were asleep.
That would really piss me off. Can you imagine that would blow your fucking mind if you woke up in the mornings?
Well, you,
but, I mean,
walking downstairs and like everything's moving.
Because you'd be like,
It's not even like he'd just do a small thing like move a lamp. He would literally rearrange people's furniture and leave all of their windows and doors open.
I don't understand how you could
just
sleep
so you
through
knew
that.
Be there. Well, he was quite clever, which we'll find out why later.
Oh.
But he was quite clever so that, you know, there is potential that he would have been stalking these people for weeks beforehand.
Oh, so he would have known.
Yeah. So he would know people's patterns and things like that. But it's the fact that not only would he come into people's houses and move all of their shit, which is weird and freaky enough as it is. And I know that doesn't sound like a massive thing, but could you imagine being in your house asleep, waking up in the morning, knowing how unsafe you are in your own house?
Yeah.
So,
no, but actually, I wonder how many ghost stories from around that time in San Francisco is actually just him breaking into people's houses. Because people sometimes in ghost stories, don't they? They're like, oh, we woke up in the morning and my lamp had moved across the room and we had no idea. Ooh.
What? No, it was just Joe.
Big average Joe.
Good old Joe. yeah, so after all of these burglaries sort of thing. Because even when he was taking things that had like little to no value at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, like little mementos. Like
they were missing.
Yeah. So a bit like how normal serial killers will take a token and have some sort of thing to look back on. That's the sort of thing he was doing. And he was taking like, you know, a random picture off a wall or something from somebody's kitchen or things from their bedside table.
But that, like, do you know what I mean? Having like mild form of OCD, that would piss me off. Like, coming down and you go, something's not right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'd be pissed off that I just had to rearrange my whole furniture in the first place.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you took, like,
don't
a
paint... touch my shit!
If you took, like, a painting off the wall and you're like, I covered that. Like, I covered that wall for a reason.
Yeah.
Dickhead.
Yeah, and all your windows... Yeah, but if just leaving all the windows and doors open and stuff too, I'd be scared to go to sleep again because you go to bed knowing that they're all closed and locked. Yeah. And you come down in the morning, they're all open, fucking Marilyn Monroe's missing off the wall. Mm. Like,
got some family of raccoons making a home with a corner. And you're like, don't mind the raccoons, but the Marilyn Monroe picture is just taking it a bit too far.
Where's my live, laugh, love sculpture going?
Garrett, shut up.
But yeah, so that's the part that made me think that he was pretty fucked up compared to usual serial killers, because, like, I mean, when you look at serial killers, you base their fucked upness, I suppose, based on, you know, how many people they killed and what they did to their bodies, because, you know, most of them like to do weird things like fucking heads and things, right? But this guy was already sick in the head before he even escalated to that point, so there's clearly something more going on with this guy. So once he sort of progressed, he became known as the East Area Rapist. So that was his first sort of MO. That was his first, like, real sort of title.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wasn't even a murderer at this point. He was just a rapist.
Criminal.
Yeah. So, altogether, what he was charged with when he was arrested is 13 murders, over 50 rapes, and an unknown number of burglaries. Over a 40-year span. There is a potential that he could have done a lot more, because obviously when people are charged, they're usually only charged with the tip of the iceberg. They're not really, you know, given all of these.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, especially if it's spanning over 40 years, it's hard to find proof and evidence enough to, like...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's even potential that, because he was active in San Francisco around about the same time as... the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah.
So there is a potential that he could potentially have been the Zodiac Killer as well. He was never caught. He was active during that time. He was in that area as well because he's actually the original Night Stalker. So prior to Ramirez, the guy who was the Night Stalker.
Yeah, plenty of like copycats as well, like taking up the mantle.
Yeah, so there's plenty of other things that he could have done that we don't know about. And with him being on death's door anyway, he may or may not.
Because we watched that YouTube video the other day, didn't we, when you were doing your research, and oh my god, he looked like he literally was about to drop dead.
Really?
Yeah, he's that old now, so he's lived his full life, and obviously all these people have been tormented with him phoning up and stuff, because he was still doing it at that age. He was still phoning up his victims
years,
and stuff.
Years later, he was still calling up his victims to torment them over the phone. So, you know, the people that survived these rapes.
Proper sicko.
Yeah, like, he took great pleasure in doing these things. Like, you can see based on his MOs and, like, what he'd done after.
Yeah, but they might as well, to be honest, they should have just shot him. Because, like, he's not going to suffer in prison enough.
I don't think
to,
he
like,
cares.
To, like, reflect
well, it's because
what he's done.
Because it's crossed over multiple states. That's why it's taken so long as well. Because he was caught in 2018. So it's been 2 years already since he was caught, and yet he's still going through the trials right now.
Yeah.
So because of the amount of crimes that he committed and because of how many different jurisdictions this sort of crossed over, that's why the case has been so long, and there's also been a debate about whether or not they're going to give him the death penalty, because some states where he committed crimes, the death penalty is active, but in some states it's not.
Yeah.
And also with him being 72 years old, and he looks like a walking corpse.
Shall we put a picture of him on the Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry,
Karen.
The question is, like, is it worth giving him the death penalty? Because it's also very expensive. It also lasts a long time because you have to give them X amount of time to appeal it and stuff like that. Because of all of the, you know, the shit that's involved in it.
He might have even died by then.
Exactly. So...
He's definitely going to die in prison.
He's going
and that's
to
before
stay
the death
yeah.
penalty
yeah.
gets put on him.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
of the way that he looks. He's about 70 odd or something
72.
Now.
72. Yeah.
But he looks like he's on death's door right now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And originally, when they first caught him as well, they were only going to trial him for the murders. So he was only going to be trialled for 13 murders, and they weren't going to count the rapes. However, recently, after looking through YouTube and looking at research and stuff, he's actually admitted to all of the crimes.
Yeah.
So he's one of them is actually kind of difficult to watch. It's over an hour long, and it's on YouTube, and it's him pleading guilty to all of the charges. But because there's like over 50 rapes, they go into great detail about the rapes
oh
that happened and stuff like that, and the individual cases, and then they read out the penal codes and everything
yeah.
that's violation of, and then do you admit, and he admitted to all of them, but you can imagine it's over an hour and a half long
yeah.
because they're reading out every
yeah.
part of the crimes, and some of it's really, really like it's all fucked up anyway
yeah.
but some of it's like really bad. So anyway, moving on. So originally he was in Sacramento, California. When he was a UCLA rapist, there was, like I said, over 50 rapes, and during that time, because it was like a small village type place, like similar to, you know, a village here,
yeah,
they had like town hall meetings and things like that. So at first, he was only raping single women on their own. And then he sort of escalated to couples. And he wasn't raping the couples, but what he was doing was breaking into the houses, tying up the men, stacking loads of pots and plates on them, and saying to them, if you move, I'm going to kill your wife.
Yeah.
So they literally had to stay there completely still while
yeah.
he'd go into the next room and rape their wives.
That's, yeah.
And it wasn't just that he'd break the wife, so he'd have a break in the middle and he'd go downstairs
yeah.
and make himself a sandwich and he'd just help himself to the cupboards.
Completely casual, like
yeah,
and
like it was just a normal.
So it's clearly
routine.
Not like a crime of passion, impulsive behaviour. It's
yeah,
definitely
no.
like
premeditated.
Yeah.
And so he was doing all of this to people, but he was raping these women for hours at a time. It wasn't just he'd break in, do his business and leave. Which would be bad enough in
he'd
itself.
He'd make a night of it.
Yeah, he would literally be there for like 2-3 hours at a time, raping these women repeatedly, and then also in the situations where the men were there, like, tormenting the husbands.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being tied up in that situation.
That'd be horrendous.
Being completely helpless.
Yeah.
Listening to that happening.
Your main priority is obviously not to break bloody plates.
Yeah.
And or whatever's stacked on you. So,
yeah.
And then obviously, he's still probably going to do it anyway, because
yeah.
most people, they threaten you, but they're still going to do it regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he would have, because obviously it turns into a murderer later on anyway. Like
yeah.
It was already there.
Yeah.
So my point about the town hall meetings was, so he was doing this to couples, and then at the town hall meeting, they were talking about it as a town, because obviously everyone was scared. It's happening on a massive scale in a small place. And one guy got up and basically said, like, I don't know how anybody could let that happen to their wife. That would never happen to mine. Blah, 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 bigging himself up. That night, his wife got raped.
I mean, that's his own fault.
So,
for acting so cocky.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what it did prove is that the person that was committing these crimes was
there, yeah.
Yeah. So it was definitely somebody from the area. It wasn't somebody coming in
yeah.
or whatever.
Serial killers love going to, like, you know, the scene of the crime or
yeah.
like, you know, like
it's
public
like
meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like arsonists, they'll burn
it,
set a building on fire and then come and help with the clear up or like,
yeah.
I'll be the police or call the fire brigade or something. Like,
because most of the times it's due
yeah.
to like sexual gratification as well.
Yeah.
It gets them off.
Yeah. So what's his face that killed Holly and Jessica Chapman?
He really helped.
Yeah.
I'm
he helped with the case and was like, you know, what can I do? What
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, being on the news and things like that when he'd already murdered them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a similar thing. And obviously he was very nostalgic about it because he, when he was caught, he was living a few doors down from where he originally lived in Sacramento,
yeah.
California. So
it's just horrifying that he managed to get away from it and that's, get away with it.
For so long.
For so long in that small area.
Yeah.
I mean,
now,
yeah.
here's how he got away with it. So, at this point, during the mid-70s, there wasn't a lot of DNA or anything like that. There wasn't enough capability within the police force to really find these sort of people. So, at the time, they had a few theories about it, but couldn't prove anything. So they theorised that based on the way he was committing the crime and the way he was getting away with it and staying ahead, was that he was either somebody part of law enforcement or part of the military. So after they caught him, obviously, they found out he was a former police officer.
There you go.
So that's how he was staying ahead of everything. He was involved in all the cases. He kept himself two steps ahead. Obviously, if he's at a crime scene, he can get rid of any evidence that they're...
Yeah.
But he also knows how to not leave evidence because he's already in that profession.
Yeah, he's been trained. He knows what to look for from a policeman's point of view, so he knows not to leave it.
Yeah. And what happened was, how this then escalated into a different type of MO is he was actually caught stealing a can of dog repellent and a hammer. So he was caught shoplifting, right?
Yeah.
Those two things. He was sacked on the spot by the police chief. The police chief's daughter, later on that night, saw somebody outside of her window.
Oh, that freaks me out. Yeah. I just got goosebumps. That freaks me out.
Are
the curtains closed?
Based on, obviously, finding that he'd been stealing, especially
it's just too coincidental.
What it is. Yeah. He had suspicions. Yeah. So he had suspicions that he was the killer at the time, well, the rapist at the time, and said nothing.
He said absolutely nothing.
So he had his inkling, he thought it was, he thought about doing something about it, but decided not to.
Why? Why would you just not say something? Why would you just like, by the way, my daughter saw someone standing outside her window in the middle of the night. I fired someone today for stealing such and such. Investigate him. Dickhead.
Yeah.
Did anything actually happen to the police chief's daughter? Or did she just see someone?
She saw someone, but nothing happened to her.
That alone would freak myself out.
But yeah.
No, that would freak me out, but I feel like if you're a police chief, that's not enough of something to go after someone.
But from his years of experience, having that inkling should make him want to take some sort of action. So even if he wasn't 100% certain that this guy is criminal, you would at least investigate. Even if it's not in an official capacity, you would still be a bit curious. You'd be
assessed by a psychologist or something to make sure that if he needs extra help in that way.
There's plenty of things
you probably couldn't back then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we are talking about what time did you start?
We're talking about like 40 years ago. So,
what was it like back in 40 years ago?
Pretty sure. I mean, we're talking at the height of serial killer time in America.
Yeah.
In the 70s was when, you know, you had all of those prolific serial killers going on.
What if you appeared like out of the norm? They'd just be like, you're crazy, whatever. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. So, after his dismissal, he actually moved. And after he moved, there was a pattern showing up. So he was moving along the Golden Coast, going past San Francisco, became the original Night Stalker, and then ultimately became the Golden State Killer, where he committed his murders. Now, really, this wasn't investigated until the late 90s. So in 1998, with the new DNA technology coming out, they reopened the case. They were looking into it was never closed, really. So they started investigating it a little bit more heavily, using that DNA technology to try and help them. And what they actually did was, there was a detective called Paul Holes, who had been looking for this guy for over 25 years, himself personally. What he did was he took the DNA from the crime scenes, and he entered the information into the FBI database. Didn't show up anything, because obviously he'd never been arrested for a serious crime where he'd needed to give DNA evidence or DNA. So he'd never been arrested up to that point, so it didn't bring back any results. But what he then did was went onto ancestry sites and used the DNA there. And what that showed was there was a potential 5 matches.
Mm.
He obviously created a fake profile for this, which I don't think is entirely legal, but I don't think it's illegal either. I think it's a bit of a grey area, so he got away with it. Because I don't think these days you could probably do that and it would hold up in court or whatever.
But, you know.
So it led to these 5 people who they then individually investigated. So they, you know, they pulled up all of the reports on them, anything they could find, you know, tracking their movements, having a look into these people to determine who out of these people it could possibly be. And Joseph D'Angelo was obviously one of those people. When they were investigating him, they actually found a tissue in his bin, which had DNA on.
What kind of DNA?
I don't know.
Hopefully snot.
I'm hoping it's a cough or a sneeze.
I'm hoping it's just gone. And not gone. Cheeky. Roll.
Cheeky. But yeah, so they took the DNA from the tissue. They compared it against the DNA found at the scene. Lo and behold, it was a match. Perfect.
Bada boom. Can you imagine what they would have done for your police career, though? You would have sat there going, yeah, I'm big man. I managed to get this bastard after 25 years of investigating him.
Can you imagine wasting 25 years of your life looking for somebody?
It's like, it's dedication.
It's like one of those police films where the policeman's going absolutely mental because he just can't work out.
Yeah.
It's
like real life, one of those.
Yeah, but not many police actually investigate that long, and also they just instantly close the case if it's been dormant for so many years, or like the killer decides to stop doing it, or
and there's no point wasting money on the resources for them to look at into that.
But to be fair, this guy was still giving them a reason to, because he was still tormenting his victims. He was still continuing on with this crime long after it had been committed. So you can't really let those kind of things go. But when they finally found him and they arrested him, they arrested him in his home in Sacramento. At this point, he was in a wheelchair, 72 years old.
Couldn't exactly run.
No. But the arresting officer...
Oh, shit, it's the cop. They see me rolling. They hating.
Get some knots strapped to him. See, that's what he should have done. He should have strapped some knots to him.
Fast and furious. 8. How many is that? Oh, it's 9. Sorry.
It's
incorrect. Too fast, too furious.
And they actually found
Hot Wheels
that this guy was a retired father of 3 daughters as well.
Oh. Could you imagine finding out your dad that about was... your dad? Mm.
Let's not just accidentally killed one dude, like
actually murdered.
No, I'd
people.
Forgive. Like my dad turned around to me and said, "I've accidentally killed one person," and like that's understandable. 50 rapes and 13 murders. No, I'm
at
not
least.
Forgiving you.
At least, yeah.
Those poor girls must be in therapy.
Well, his youngest victim was actually 13 years old.
Oh, that's horrible.
No.
And she was a virgin.
Oh.
It was actually quite sad when they were reading out the charges about her and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think
obviously
I could
going
sit
into
and listen
detail
to
and things.
Well, they give, like, they didn't really say the names, did they? They just
no,
said
they called them, like,
Jane
Doe 1, Jane Doe 2,
yeah,
all the way up to, like, 50.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, she was, like, Jane Doe 59 or something, 39 or something like that. And his actual intention was to rape the mother, and then he ended up just tying her up and raping the daughter instead. And yeah, she was virgin at the time, which he knew because he mentioned it.
Yeah.
And yeah, he raped her for a few hours as well.
That's horrendous.
That's just disgusting, like when people,
Yeah, there was one time he actually committed 2 rapes in one night. It was like it was escalating.
Yeah.
There wasn't much gap in between these rapes as well. There was like, obviously when you first start out committing crimes, there's usually, there's like an escalation process. So not only are you escalating the types of crimes you do, but how often you do them, because it's like a drug, you need the next fix. So, you know, there was maybe a couple of months in between the first couple, and then it became a couple of days in between some of them. And obviously,
well, they shorten the period, don't they?
Yeah, because they need
the
fix. But yeah, so after they arrested him, they found out he was a retired father of 3 daughters. And they also found out that he was married to a local divorce lawyer who he'd been estranged from since 1991, but she never divorced him.
That's weird.
But there is a law in Sacramento that a spouse cannot testify against their partner.
Loophole.
So there is a potential, people think, that maybe she knew about it.
Yeah. Well, or she found out.
Or found out, couldn't deal with it, obviously has been estranged from him, but never divorced him.
That's, yeah.
Even though
I don't know.
It's kind of saving her bones
there
if she knew,
because
she doesn't have to testify, so she'd have to admit that she knew. But also, I wonder if he wouldn't let her divorce him because he didn't want her to then go to the police.
Yeah.
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, it's a very difficult situation, like you would personally be in if you were married to a serial killer who was doing that. Yeah.
I personally would have just killed the guy, but whatever. I would have just gone to prison for murder.
Yeah.
So, why are you in here? I killed my husband, who turned out to be a serial killer.
I did you a favour.
Saved you a crime.
That's the reason why I think that it's so interesting, because there's so much more than what I've just discussed. Like, if you listen to it, like, those conspiracy guys, for example, they go into great detail about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, conscious of the time that I didn't go through every tiny little detail, but honestly, it's worth looking up if you wanted to...
Even just on YouTube, because everything's very public right now.
Yeah, because of obviously trial still going on. But, it's so interesting from a psychological perspective.
Yeah.
Because it's so outside of the norm. Normal. I mean, what is normal?
Most people start becoming a serial killer, it's when they murder the mum or the dad, someone.
They start with animals.
Yeah,
and there's not a lot in terms of his childhood. Usually, when I search for serial killers and
this fucked up stuff has happened in their childhood.
Yeah, it's usually stemmed from their mother hated them, used to bully them, their dad did this, etc. etc. Like there's always something there in the past.
Yeah.
But with him. There are some bits and pieces, but there's not enough information on his childhood to be able to see if that's had an impact on him becoming this way.
I mean, for all we knew, he could just have a perfectly normal lifestyle and something else was wrong with him. Maybe, a wire loose in his brain.
It's that argument, nature versus nurture.
Yeah. I mean, he could have been brought up really well.
Yeah.
And it was just nature in this scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he's such an interesting person to research and go into detail with his crimes. Obviously, you've got to have a strong stomach for it.
Yeah, I don't think I could sit through that whole YouTube video.
Yeah, there is a lot.
The cases, the rape cases.
You do get a bit desensitised to it, though, because...
Yeah.
I mean, it depends how invested you are into, learning about serial killers. Mm. Not necessarily becoming one, but, you find this topic fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, mine's almost medical curiosity. You're not...
Yeah.
You're not thinking about the crime that's been committed, you're thinking about the psychology behind why the crime's been committed. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, it's relatively easy to go into the details with, but a lot of people don't have that kind of desensitization to it. I think mine's just through years and years of doing psychology and doing research and things.
I used to want to be a forensic psychologist.
Yeah, it's a lot.
For a brief moment.
You have to get used to things blood. There is no ins or outs. I know most women are alright with blood, see it on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I chose the Zodiac Killer, who was a serial killer that operated in Northern California from at least the 1960s to the early 1970s. He's never been caught, so he could potentially still be on the run.
Ted Cruz. Except he was born after, so it was...
But he liked... the killer originated the name in a series of taunting letters and ciphers which he sent to the San Francisco Bay Area Press, and only one of these ciphers has actually been solved. So there's still three out there that could potentially hold his identity, because he said that in his letters that he sent to the press, the ciphers hold his identity, mm-hmm. which later turns out to be a lot of bullshit.
No. You can't trust a serial killer.
No.
They lie.
They do That's lie the a lot. Thing. Apparently, he has claimed to have murdered 37 victims, but only 5 have actually been linked to him. The first one is called the Lake Herman Road Murders, and this happened on Lover's Lane. I was watching some YouTube videos the other night and saying that it's not really well lit or well travelled, and it's basically like a lane where couples go to,
shag, snoochy snooch,
do dogging.
A little bit of dogging.
I mean, don't blame him, can you?
No.
So on December 20th, 1968, this couple called Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday was killed. They were on their first date together. How romantic. And they got murdered.
Together forever.
Wow. they went to said Lover's Lane, and apparently, so obviously, have you ever watched the film Zodiac?
So Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely Jake Gyllenhaal.
Five.
Obviously, he played actual author Robert Graysmith, who did a book in the end. So he depicted that the couple had pulled up into Lover's Lane. Obviously, they were a bit nervous because it's the first date and everything. And apparently, a vehicle pulled into Lover's Lane where the killer exited and walked towards the couple in their car, possibly ordering the couple to get out. Jensen left first. When Faraday was halfway out, he was shot in the head. The killer then shot Jensen 5 times in the back as she fled. Her body was found 28 feet from the car. And that was the first murders that apparently the Zodiac had committed. But at this point, he hadn't communicated with the police. He started communicating with the police the second time he murdered another couple, but the male actually survived, even though he got shot like multiple times. So
didn't do a very good job.
Didn't finish. No. Didn't quite finish.
Altogether, what a shame a man didn't finish. Altogether, like the 5 confirmed murders that can be linked to him, 2 of the men did survive the murders, well, attempted murders, should I say, but the women didn't. But I think it was more a case of he wanted to kill the women.
Yeah, so the men just...
I think it was more of a personal link to the women than it was to the men. I just think the men just happened to be there at the wrong place one time. So when he did start communicating with the police, it wasn't until after he did the Blue Rock Springs murder, which was on July 4th, 1969. So he waited until 6 months after his first murders.
Mm.
Before he murdered again, which, you know, is a lot of...
according to the police.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have killed people in between just to have
Could be a whole stack of bodies.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was saying, but because they couldn't actually link it to him.
Yeah.
Because obviously he did claim...
No evidence.
Yeah.
And serial killers like to claim glory for people's
sins. Yeah, yeah.
And also at the same time, like Golden State Killer, like DNA and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a big thing. Before midnight on July 4th, Darlene Ferrin and Michael Magoo, I'm assuming I'm saying that right, they drove to Blue Rock Springs, which was 4 miles away from the first murders on Lake Herman Road, and they parked up. Whilst the couple sat in the car, another car pulled into the lot and parked alongside them, but almost immediately drove away. Returning 10 minutes later, this second car parked behind them. The driver of the second car then exited the vehicle, approaching the passenger side door of Ferrin's car, carrying a flashlight and a 9mm Luger. The killer directed the flashlight in both the victim's eyes before shooting at them, firing 5 times.
Did they both die? No, did you say the guy survived?
So the guy survived in this situation. So what happened was, the killer started walking away, he heard the man moan, came back and shot each victim twice again. Oh. But the woman had died at this point.
Yeah.
Somehow, I mean, God bless him, but Michael managed to survive the attack, even though he's received shots to the face, chest, and neck.
Blimey.
Wow.
That's really lucky.
Mm. How the fuck did he survive that?
Well, in the film, so obviously you see the couple, and then later on, you see him as he's older, and I'm like, I don't know how the fuck you managed to survive that. Like, props to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
because the woman died instantly. Like, depending on, obviously, where the bullets entered. But he got shot in the face.
And the neck. Because the neck, you get arteries and then straight off.
Unless he was so lucky that the bullets just missed.
Like, I can kind of understand face and chest shots.
Yeah.
Not killing him. Because you see all of those cases. Yeah. People that have been shot. Yeah. Or, you know, through... gangbangers, shooting people and stuff, and like having 6-7 gunshot wounds and still surviving because it's hit their body.
Yeah,
but neck. That's especially because you've got your spinal cord.
Yeah, so
you've got your main arteries. Like that. That's a major shit.
And the chest as well. I mean? So it was like the main vital parts of your body.
Basically. Yeah, but even the chest,
it could just hit your ribs or something. It could
go straight through. Yeah, that's true. Organ, you know, like
the neck.
But the neck is quite compact and small. Like well, most people in exile. You know, some people are still acting ex out there.
Well,
but
in that time, like, obviously, I don't know if they use actors to, like, closely depict what the actual people look like, but, I mean, if they did, he was quite skinny.
Yeah.
So it would have done more damage, surely.
One, it's a good shot to hit someone, like, direct in the neck.
Yeah.
Two, yeah. Like you're saying, it's a small area, and that small area is full of important things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on, like, so this happened just before midnight. At 4 minutes past midnight on July the 5th, a man phoned up claiming responsibility of the attack. So he told the police officers, there's been a shooting, this is what's happened, this is what they look like, this is where they are, like, every single piece of information, and then just said goodbye, and then hung up the phone.
Fucking hell.
And
so
then that's when he started.
Been him.
Yeah. Because of the details.
Well, they traced a call to a phone booth at a gas station located 500 metres away from Darlene's house, and only a few blocks away from the police department.
Did they not have cameras at these gas stations? Or?
It was so long ago. It was in the 70s, wasn't it?
Late 60s, early 70s that it first started.
I don't know if that was a common...
Still CCTV. But then again, I suppose...
It would have been really shit, though.
There's a lot less CCTV in America than there is here. Like,
yeah.
Because there's more sound,
especially around it, where, like, literally everywhere in Britain has got CCTV.
It's because there's more ground to cover, though.
Yeah.
I think, in that case... Especially, like, this is, like, in the northern area of San Francisco. So it was, like, in, like, you know, close communities.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, you know, villages that we have here. Yeah. But they're, like, bigger communities were, like, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing really happens. Nothing.
Sacramento,
yeah. Nothing really happens. You know, no murders get claimed or anything. No serial killers get, you know, identified.
Yeah, I suppose 70s was, like, the rise of serial killers, wasn't it?
It's probably because of all those serial killers that everyone's upped the ante on DNA and CCTV.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, 200 people are getting murdered out near this gas station. Put a camera up.
Yeah. But I'm thinking the Zodiac and the Golden State Killer are connected in some way, because, like, Golden State happened, what, a few years before?
Sort of like mid-70s when he was most active, so yeah, he would have crossed over the same sort of time period.
They were in the same area, and both had copycat killers, so they had three main suspects for the Zodiac killer, but obviously in the film they refer to, like, copycat killers, which, and obviously the Golden State Killer had plenty of copycat killers.
Yeah.
Once he, like, picked an MO for that.
Yeah,
part,
but I suppose some people just like to piggyback off the other fame, I suppose.
Yeah. And you never know, those ciphers that he sent in, it could be someone sending them in that hadn't actually done the killings, but
like,
so the Golden State Killer could have
Well, the people that they suspected to be the Zodiac, one used to be in the military, so he would have learned how to do ciphers, because obviously Morse code, everything like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But apparently he was in a car accident, and it ended up with him having a brain injury, which, like, obviously left him a bit unhinged, apparently.
Well,
yeah.
So it could have made sense if he started, you know, having these, like, thoughts, or, like, losing it a little bit. And obviously if he had PTSD and stuff like that, at the time they didn't really treat that very well.
No,
so he could have, you know, resorted in killing people. But further evidence suggested that it wasn't him in the end, but he was just one of the suspects. The best suspect was Arthur Lee Allen, which they talk about in the film. He was, like, the closest person to ever been, like, accused of being the Zodiac. Because the Zodiac, they found out, was ambidextrous.
Yeah.
And he must have had, like, a personality disorder as well, which was the Zodiac.
Yeah.
And...
Is he the one where he actually got his friends to call him the Zodiac before the killings even started?
In the film, apparently, I don't know if this is, like, actually true, but... it says that he has a conversation with a friend when they go fishing, and he says, if I was a Zodiac, I'd be doing this and this and this and this, or whatever. Basically claiming that he would be the Zodiac. Like, every word. So the police really, really wanted it to be him, but they had, like, you know, when they analysed the handwriting and stuff.
Yeah.
They couldn't match it, even though he was the closest person to being the Zodiac.
But then, if you're that clever and you're also ambidextrous, surely you should be able to hide your handwriting to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not an exact science, is it? Let's be honest. Like, it's really important.
It's not that difficult.
And it's really, like...
I can easily, like, change my handwriting because I have done over the years.
But if he was ambidextrous, then, as well...
He wouldn't have set style.
No, and he could be like, oh, this is my handwriting, I'm right-handed, and then have written them in his left hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it would be different because of...
Yeah.
You're different...
Because of the angle of on the paper.
And different pressures.
Yeah.
Because my right hand's obviously a lot stronger than my left hand.
Yeah.
I can kind of write with my left hand, but it's I'm not pressing the paper anywhere near as hard.
Yeah. Well, out of the five murders that was actually linked to him, Robert Graysmith, when he decided to... He was going to solve this case. Well, try to, at least... he found out that by speaking to close friends of one of the victims, Darlene, that she had a painting party. So basically people would come round, they have a few drinks and they help her paint the house.
Mm.
It was like a big thing in America, apparently.
Yeah.
So she had recently got married, recently bought a house, needed some help painting the house. She had a friend called Lee, which was the guy. And apparently he used to be really weird. And he apparently came in like a full suit, didn't speak to anyone, and like came to this painter party and just sat there and...
Didn't paint?
Yeah. And used to...
I mean, I hope he at least brought a gift.
I mean, I don't know.
That wasn't a dead body.
And Darlene used to be really terrified of him.
Was it...
obviously, like... I mean, that's understandable. Like, someone that I'm like... friends with, but you're not really, you don't really want to be friends with them, but you just feel a bit sorry for them.
But then you're scared, you don't want to cut them out completely because you're a little bit scared of them.
I mean, I'd just tell him to piss off, but
yeah, you would.
I mean, any normal person would be like, you're not for me, mate.
Well, some people are nice though, aren't they? So,
but
surely, like, okay, so this guy committed these crimes by shooting people, right?
Yeah,
surely with the advancements in technology. They should be able to do something with that evidence. I mean, if they can catch the Golden State Killer after 40 years, and he quite clearly knew his shit because obviously being a former police officer and everything else, and quite clearly covered his tracks really well.
Yeah.
And like, yes, the difference is he would have left, you know, juices from rape.
That's a lovely way to describe that.
That's the grossest thing I've ever heard you say.
Juices.
Juices from rape.
So, this concoction that he left behind obviously got him in the shit. But surely committing a crime by shooting somebody is more easily traced.
Well, they can match bullets to guns and stuff, can't they?
Exactly, yeah.
But they knew the gun.
So many things that go into it.
The type of gun,
they automatically knew the type of gun. And
but I think, I thought you could...
And then he started changing his MO and started stabbing people instead.
But again, like,
was it the same person? There will be some sort of evidence.
This is why I'm thinking it was a copycat killer, because obviously the original Zodiac was like, I killed these people, blah, blah, blah. I killed them with I shot them.
Yeah.
So obviously he instantly knew that it was a gun.
Yeah,
but he wore gloves, wore coverings and everything. So
even that's not—it's not foolproof. Do you know what I mean?
Like, but they knew he was of military as well because of the way that he sounded when he was walking. So, when someone's quite heavy footed and got boots,
yeah,
and quite methodical and stuff. So they knew it was of military background, and also they wanted it to be Arthur Lee Allen as well, purely because he got fired from a teaching job that he had because of inappropriately touching the kids.
Oh dear.
But that doesn't make him a killer, that just makes him a bit of a pedo. Like, not like that's any better.
No,
the worst thing was one of the other victims the Zodiac killed was, so he got in a taxi, he told the taxi driver to go to a certain location. Taxi driver obviously did as he said, paid the fare, shot him, walked out of the car, got something in the front. So it would have been, I can't even remember what it was, I think it was money or it was something really stupid.
Wow.
And then left. It was kids who heard what had happened that phoned up the police. Now the police got informed and somehow got mistaken the actual killer to be black. Obviously racial profiling.
Yeah, especially during
the
70s. Yeah.
Yeah.
They walked past someone who fit the description of the actual killer because they were looking for a black person.
Didn't they even ask him for directions?
Oh my God.
I heard something, I'm sure
they asked this guy for directions or something.
So it was the actual killer.
Yeah.
And because they,
because it doesn't make you so angry.
Because yeah. the kid said it was dark, we couldn't see his face because he was wearing a covering. He wasn't black, he was wearing a black like mask or whatever. And racial profiling.
Yeah.
And because racial profiling was obviously a massive thing back then, they were looking for a black guy. And
yeah, it still is now.
The actual guy got away.
Yeah.
So they could have caught him a lot sooner.
I'm not even surprised though. Like, no.
But do you know how frustrating that is when it happens?
Can you imagine? Yeah. In the 70s. So I'm surprised you caught any killers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, they didn't until, like, what, 2018?
Yeah.
Do you know how frustrating that is, though? Like,
I know.
You ask someone for directions and it was the killer. Like, yeah.
It's the same as if the police chief had said something during that time when the guy in yeah. circular was yeah. like, you suspected
I've got my
him.
Suspicions about this guy. That,
yeah.
Like, yes, okay, he's raped many people before this point, but you would have saved a hell of a lot more people getting raped and also anybody getting murdered because he hadn't murdered anybody no. at this point. You, like, all of those people dying could have been prevented if he said something.
I think the reason why the Zodiac's obviously not got caught, and in some areas of California, the case is still open.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's hard to let things like that go.
Yeah, but he used to wait long periods of time, you know. So he, like, obviously communicated with them in 1969. Next time that the police actually heard from him was like 3 years later. Something ridiculous like that. So he would wait long periods of time. Obviously, wasn't happy with the fact that, like, everyone was brushing it away and was like, I'm not getting enough attention.
Yeah.
So then he would start sending letters in. Then he would start sending ciphers in and going, if you don't put me on the front page of your newspaper, I'm going to drive around and kill people until I've got enough for my slave collection. Because he would mention a book called The Most Dangerous Animal, which is basically like this person is on a deserted island and he gets bored of killing like wild animals. So when people start getting deserted on this island, he kills them instead because it's more exciting.
Right.
And that's where the Zodiac got the idea from, to be the Zodiac.
Because it's more exciting than killing animals.
Yeah. So in his first letter, he writes an almost identical letter to three newspaper offices,
mm-hmm.
the Vallejo Times Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco Examiner, sends almost identical letters, which was described by a psychiatrist to have been written by someone you would expect to be brooding and isolated, and took credit for the prior murders. Each letter also included one third of a 408 symbol cipher, which the killer claimed his identity. The killer demanded to be printed on each paper's front page, or he would cruise around all weekend killing lone people in the night, and then move on to kill again until I end up with a dozen people over the weekend. And then he would mention in his letters, I like killing people because it is so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest, because man is the most dangerous animal of all. To kill something, it gives me the most thrilling experience. It is even better than getting your rocks off with a girl. The best part of it is that when I die, I will be reborn in paradise. I have killed, and then I have killed, will become my slaves. I will not give you my name because you will try to stop my collection of slaves for my afterlife.
So he thought that everyone he killed would be his slave in heaven.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, huh?
Yeah. But he got caught out, so obviously this couple, they were like history teachers, I think, and obviously they're like doing puzzles and stuff. So this got the cipher got released, and this is what the cipher said in one of them. So he passed it to his wife and was like, oh, do you think you could crack this out? And that's what it said. But it got deciphered, because he misspelt words in it.
I feel like that would be harder to...
Because he obviously referenced The Most Animal Game in a film, obviously Robert Graysmith figures out that someone stole almost from the military library and from like the main library in like the area that it was happening. Mm-hmm. He stole all the books on codes and ciphers, so it couldn't be traced back to who it was.
Mm. Sneaky.
So does that mean he used different codes and ciphers to make up the whole of this?
Yeah, they were medieval ones. Ones that we would never, ever use.
Right. And it was a mixture of different ones.
Yeah.
Mm. It almost makes me think, like, the guy writing the ciphers wasn't even killing anyone. He was just kind of...
There was, like...
Doing shit to
because yeah. all the murders that happened under the Zodiac, they're all, like, actually quite different and a little bit random. Like, the taxi driver one.
Mm.
What I generally think happened was... So, Zodiac was actually a person that wanted to kill one of the people out of the two couples.
Mm-hmm.
which happened to be Darlene.
Yeah.
Copycat happened, wanted to get glory or fame or whatever, started sending ciphers and letters in. Another one happened and started killing more people.
Yeah.
So I think it was several people that actually turned out to be the Zodiac, but because they never caught the first one, more happened.
Yeah.
Mm. And then, like, the timelines spread out. So, like, he kills in 1968, December. Kills again, July 1969. Don't hear from him for a while, like, probably about two to three years.
Yeah.
Kills again. Kills the taxi driver. And then a couple get stabbed at a lake. But it's gun, 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 stab, gun. So
there's a lot of them are involved, the victims being in a car, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the people at the lake, are they in
they
the
were
car?
Chilling. They were chilling by the lake.
Yeah.
That was two things.
There was a man. Yeah.
But you don't know if that's him changing his MO as well.
Yeah.
Or trying something new.
Yeah.
For all we know.
Yeah.
And there's something a little bit more personal about a knife.
Yeah, because to stab someone, you have to be up very close to them,
yeah.
Whereas a gun, you can just from a distance.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was, like, this couple was at the lake, and the Zodiac walked up. He had a gun, and then told the woman of the couple to tie up the man, and said he only wanted to take his keys, his car keys, and his money.
Right.
So he did. Obviously, the woman had tied the man loosely up, so he went to go and tie the woman up and then tighten up the man's, like, bindings, and then decided to stab him 10 times each.
Just casually decided to stab him.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, but I think the reason why I find him so fascinating is, one, because they still not caught him today, and two, it's just, I think it's definitely copycat killers.
Yeah.
Because he was so famous, because he was sending letters to, like, all the newspapers and going, I want you to post all this stuff, and
yeah.
He sent ciphers out and everything. Obviously, it took a lot of time to, like, figure out what he wanted to do and everything.
Yeah.
Never got caught.
So the police are looking for a link between it all,
yeah,
and the clues, and there probably actually isn't one other than...
Oh, they probably didn't even think there were several people involved. Because there could potentially be several people.
Oh, yeah.
There could be. Or he could just be very, very clever.
Yeah.
Because not having an MO or changing that MO
is
very clever.
Yeah, which is why the Golden State Killer managed so long to not get caught.
Like, if you want to get away with a crime, you can't do the same thing because it becomes expectant.
Mm.
So then there's certain patterns and things that you're going to look for. So if you want to, you know, not be in that list of all those serial killers that have been caught over the years,
you'd
have to be somebody clever enough to do things differently,
or really really stupid and lucky.
Very lucky.
But it's the same
because it's the 70s.
But it's the same with the Golden State Killer. Like, obviously there's not much like background on his childhood and stuff, like, obviously, because
I think
there
will be I think as the talk goes on, and, like, I think more and more will come out.
But because,
but
like,
you can't
I'm
do,
interested to see.
Yeah.
You can't do background on the Zodiac Killer
because
you don't know who he is.
Before.
You don't know about Australia.
I mean, he could easily still be going around, like, today in America, like, and, you know, and at this point he could be around the same age as
Golden State.
Maybe
so
a few years
70s.
Old. So he'll be in his 70s, and you probably would have lived a fulfilled life. That's
Or he could have got hit by a train.
I mean,
or something.
Yeah.
No one.
Karma's
would
a bit.
Because...
Could have killed himself because he got fed up, or
yeah,
you don't know.
And no,
I don't think we'll ever know.
Figure it out.
Unless someone on their deathbed is like, I am.
But I think it's worth.
But then can you trust them?
You can't believe them.
No.
Unless...
Is this guy got dementia? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you lying?
But I think it's worth reinvestigating into because we have, like, all the technology advancement now to be able to go back and go, okay, let's reinvestigate it and actually find solid evidence to find someone.
Especially with gunshot analysis and everything else.
That's
like, before DNA came around, could, you know, can quite conclusively be tested and invalidated. So I don't understand why something done in the way that it was hasn't had some sort of like stuff come to light about it. I just, like, I know at the time, that's definitely the case, because, again, talking about the 70s, not a lot of development in technology and stuff, especially for the police force. But now, years later down the line, if they're still investigating, it's still not cold case.
Well, it's just an open case that they've just not bothered to close, because obviously, like, they've never caught the person.
Yeah.
But obviously they don't have the resources or whatever to reinvestigate. But I'm saying reinvestigate, because you definitely will find out it's either one person or several people, and the other people are just copycats who have just picked up the mantle because they've had some other mental health reasons, which is more than likely the case.
Yeah, and it's like if you want people to figure out the cipher and re-release it to the public,
yeah,
like let somebody else have a bash.
I might just do it in my like spare time, to be honest, because three of them have not been cracked, so I might just do it in my spare time because it's not that difficult because you can find everything online.
Yeah, like obviously it's been this much time and nobody's cracked it, but doesn't mean to say that there isn't somebody out there that could crack it, because not you don't have just the best of the best working in police, FBI,
could be like, some like random kid in his basement, mum's basement, like
could actually
be a cipher genius, and
you would never know, like any he could probably give you the exactly what was written there because it hasn't been in the public eye and like given to people to say, can you crack this code? It's just not gonna happen, is
well it? the one cipher that obviously was cracked, even though like you know they hoped that his name would be mentioned, that he doesn't actually mention his name, and the whole
it won't be in the other two or three
the whole reason was he didn't mention his name was because they didn't want he didn't want to be slowed down by the police. Obviously, he was just playing the fucking police, and the police were like, oh my God, we need to crack the cipher.
To distract them from the fact he's, like, shooting bitches.
Yeah. But he was definitely linked to one of the victims that he previously shot. And in this case, it was more than likely to be Darlene.
And how do you know he hasn't misspelled stuff in that cipher on purpose? Maybe that's where the name lies.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not just as straightforward as crack the cipher that my name's
Like, oh,
it's crack the cipher, then also do this anagram. Like, you don't know.
These letters are wrong.
Yeah. I mean, never thought about that. I mean, that's a potential.
Right, let's get the cipher up.
Because he misspells animal, so instead of A-N-I-M-A-L, he puts A-N-A-M-A-L.
So if he had...
And paradise is not with an S, it's with a C.
But if you'd think if he'd read that book so many times, he'd know how to spell animal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like...
Unless he's dyslexic, and then he might have just...
Potentially.
Yeah.
And then he spells... misspelled
it.
So this is what I mean. But there's so many variables. It's so difficult to, like, say, yes, this is definitely what it is.
What else does he misspell? So he, instead of putting, like, slow down, as in, like, O-W, he puts O-I. Stop is a top, which is why I was struggling to read it out. Mm.
So
and
you've got...
collection is I-O-G. So even though, I like, everyone obviously knows what he means... He misspells it, so either he has got dyslexia or she.
But
or
some of the,
or
but
he or
some
she
of,
purposely misspelled it.
No, because some of those, I get paradise and animal. Yeah, you could spell those wrong with dyslexia,
slow.
But slow.
No.
Or a top instead of stop.
Yeah.
No, that's not.
Yeah, so because I like.
So
unless.
I mean.
No, because
it
not
looked like
even,
you had a eureka moment.
Yeah.
Because
I'm thinking the A and the S are next to each other on a keyboard.
But I don't think he would have been using a
keyboard.
But
the I and the W are nowhere near each other.
And he wouldn't have been using a keyboard.
No, he handwritten these letters.
Yeah.
No, sorry. This.
They looked handwritten.
They look handwritten.
Drawn.
Well, you wouldn't have been able to do that on a fucking.
No.
Computer
anyway, or typewriter.
Typewriter, which is what they mainly use. So he would have handwritten
these. Well,
that's
what these. Not computer, but typewriter.
I had to do the motion because apparently. The type of motion, because I was like, not a computer, what is it? It could have done it on purpose, he or she.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than likely to be a male.
Could be a girl.
Because
the probability
the descriptions.
Is low that it's female, based on.
Yeah, because.
I mean,
the, well,
if it is female, I admire them just for how far they've gotten away with this shit.
Okay. So my serial killer is called Robert William or Willie Picton. For some reason, he was known as Willie rather than Robert.
I mean, that's a perfect nickname in itself.
Yeah.
Good old Willie.
Like Bill, Will.
Yeah.
William, like
Billy Bob.
Yeah, but even though Robert's usually Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was born in October 1949 and he was raised on his family run pig farm. This pig farm is located in Canada, like 27 kilometres east of Vancouver. The parents died, the kids inherited this pig farm. So essentially I think Robert and his brother owned the majority of it and they sold a lot of it for like a few million. So they had all this excess money.
Yeah.
So Robert lived on a trailer on the farm, of course.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Why not?
And this farm was described as such a creepy place. So there's essentially there's a picture of the farm. So you can see like there's old cars and junk and just like shit everywhere.
Yeah.
It looks like a shithole, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, you could have cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's probably not his first priority.
This is him.
That looks like a fucking serial killer,
Den. Doesn't he? Have you seen, Science of the Lambs?
Yeah.
Wait, was she a great big fat person? Because he looks like him, I think.
Yeah.
Is it Buffalo Bill?
Yeah, Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, look how happy he is there in his prime time.
Holding that pig.
With the blood everywhere.
Look at all those pigs.
So, the brothers started to neglect the farming side of things. They just kind of let it go. Cause,
shock horror.
Yeah. In 1996, they registered the farm as a charity, calling it the Piggy Palace Good Times Society.
Wow.
And they claimed, oh, right?
It's like a swingers party.
Yeah. So they claimed to organise, coordinate, manage and operate special events, functions, dances, shows and exhibitions on behalf of some of service organisations and other worthy groups.
Not
so essentially,
like
no. Essentially all they did was hold massive parties. They'd converted one of the old slaughterhouses into this big, like, party venue, and they had thousands and thousands of people there at a time. Like, these parties would hold up to 2,000 people. They were illegally selling alcohol on the premises. They were charging an entrance fee. I don't think any of that money was actually going to charity, but it was all under the pretense that these were
charity
events. So quite often Hell's Angels would go. There was a lot of sex workers that went.
I thought you were just going to say there's a
lot of
sex.
There's a lot of orgies.
Well, you'd think so. And, like, 2,000 people there, the chances of one of them being a pig fucker is going to be high, isn't it? Like,
I mean, I'm hoping there's not one pig fucker to every 2,000 people.
I don't know.
That's a lot of pig fuckers.
But the kind of people.
Those stats.
Chat, no, 2,000 people, and they're going to a dodgy party on a pig farm. Come on.
With that name.
The Piggy Palace Good Time Society.
I'd be lucky to come
back. Definitely looking to bone a pig.
I'd be lucky to come back alive.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
I'm just finding you wandering around in a field somewhere.
Running away. I'd definitely be running away.
So
I wouldn't even go there in the first place.
So this charity, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
It ran for about 4 years before the authorities actually shut it down. I think they had loads of complaints from the neighbours. Not that the neighbours were even that close, thinking about it. It was a farm in the middle of nowhere. But,
yeah,
you know,
well, where is
in Vancouver.
And then they didn't have any proof that the money was going anywhere charitable.
Because it obviously
So this was.
Was,
no, this was in the 90s. But from 1978 to about 2001, there was literally dozens of sex workers went missing. Like,
fucking hell, here we go.
So it's estimated that at least 65 sex workers were reported missing between 1978 and 2001 from downtown Eastside, which is essentially the red light district of Vancouver. Loads of illicit drugs going on, dodgy, like, crime deals, all sorts of pimps, prostitutes, that kind of thing. It's full of people that literally, like, you would not notice if they went missing.
Mm.
So it's considered one of the poorest parts of Canada.
Oh,
so, like,
obviously.
Yeah.
There's a reason why.
There's, yeah. A lot of people there were from out of town, so they're the kind of people whose families had disowned them, or the families weren't in regular contact with them. So it would be quite a while before anyone noticed they were missing, just because they were that kind of people. They're marginalised, vulnerable, targeted. And even when they were reported missing, I don't know if the police even did that much about it, because there wasn't a family there pushing.
I mean,
and they probably wouldn't have taken it that seriously.
No,
either,
exactly.
It's like, oh, it's just another sex worker.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're Jack the Ripper.
Especially,
yeah.
Especially in, like, this was 78 to 2001. That, like,
yeah, they're not going to care.
No.
65, though. Like,
yeah,
that,
from
that's a
one
very
area.
Low number,
yeah,
to be fair.
It is.
I wasn't expecting you to say that. I was expecting you to say, like, 20 something. Not 65.
Over this period, Robert, our little Robbie, was between the ages of 29 and 52. So what he used to do is obviously it's pig farm, he used to make regular trips to a rendering plant in Vancouver to dispose of any excess or leftover animal waste and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So rendering plant is where they turn all the nasty bits of animal that you can't put into human consumption, they turn into dog food and, like, cat food and all sorts. After he went visited the plant, he would then cruise around downtown Eastside looking for people he could lure back to the farm. So he'd promise them drugs and sex and parties and money and stuff like that. And then when he got them back there, he would handcuff them, rape them and torture them until they died. So...
Ooh, sounds like a nice guy.
What the fuck, man?
Jesus. So, he was almost caught in 1997. There was a sex worker called Wendy Lynn So he took her to his farm, where he handcuffed her and started to stab her, but she managed to disarm him and stab him back. And then she escaped to the nearest emergency room to get treatment. And then he also went to go to the emergency room because he'd been stabbed.
Yeah.
So I think essentially they arrested him, but then he was released on bail and then the charge was dismissed. So even though they had her going, he stabbed me, I managed to escape.
He's got a stab
still,
room.
Yeah. Like he's still, him. The charges what? Were dismissed. Like nothing came of it.
Because they obviously didn't care what she had to say.
Yeah. And then there was someone noticed over the course of 3 years, a woman who visited the farm eventually went missing, but I couldn't find anything about the police actually investigating this guy's claims or anything. So on February the 6th, 2002, the police had a search warrant for the farm due to the possession of illegal firearms. So nothing to do with the murders. They were like, someone reported him for owning illegal firearms, and they went and they searched the property. The brothers were arrested. So the police then obtained a second warrant to search the farm fully as part of the missing women investigation, because someone has set up this campaign because so many of the women have gone missing. Like, yeah. Actually, hang on, maybe we should do something about that. So as part of that, they investigated the farm.
Yeah.
I think when they went to search for firearms, they were like a little bit dodgy because you saw the picture and it looked looked freaky. So the brothers were charged with weapons offences and then released.
Wow.
So, they investigate this guy after somebody's already said, this guy stabbed me.
Yeah.
Right, they investigated it, dropped it. Then they got a search warrant.
For firearms.
Which had nothing to do with it. Arrested him and then dropped it.
Yeah.
No wonder serial killers get away with actual fucking murder.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, like, to flip somebody off without flipping it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do to everyone right now.
On the farm, when they did this big search, they found the DNA of one woman on his saw, the belongings of the 20 missing women, the DNA of 10 women in his freezers, and the DNA of several others found in the ground meat. So what he was doing, he was strangling... he had a few different ways of killing people. He'd strangle them with a piece of wire, shoot them, stabbing them, obviously, because of that woman got stabbed.
Yeah.
Or some of them would just die from their injuries if he was torturing them. Because imagine, pig farmer. Don't think he just had pigs hung up like that.
Yeah, he's probably got a fair few meat hooks.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And there was rumours of him skinning people and stuff. And obviously, because it's so rural, no one would hear these women scream.
Yeah.
So no one's looking for these women, no one would hear them scream, or you'd blame it on the pigs because of that noise.
Squealing.
Yeah.
That's genius, but it fucks up.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, on the 22nd of February, so it was the 6th of February 2002 when they went for the firearms.
Yeah.
And so 22nd of February, so it's not actually that long after.
Yeah.
They arrested him. So he was charged with 2 counts of first degree murder. On the 2nd of April, 3 more charges were added. A 6th charge was added on the 9th of April, followed shortly by a 7th. And then by October 3rd, they added another 15 charges. Oh no, so by October 3rd, he was charged with 15 first degree murder. Then May the 26th, 2005, 12 more charges were added. So his total was 27. He also had charges of first degree murder of 27 women.
But 65 women went missing.
Yeah, across the period.
So
but,
he probably killed all 65.
Well, no, so he was put in a cell with an undercover cop pretending to be like just another prisoner. And he was really pissed off at himself because he said he got too sloppy and he'd been hoping to get the big 5-0, so he'd only actually killed 49 people. But then after he told the undercover cop this, the cop, it was on CCTV and you can see images from the CCTV, it's freaky. And then, so the cop left and then he got naked and had a wank because he'd been talking about all the killings that he'd done and got aroused. Yeah. So forensic analysis.
Fucking hillbilly, fucked up shit.
Oh no.
Sorry, but Wrong-un. Sorry if I offend anyone. I just fucked up.
So forensic analysis has been really difficult because the bits of bodies they found have been really decomposed.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they didn't have the DNA of the women before they went missing, they can't identify who they are. A lot of the bodies have been eaten by bugs and the pigs. He had also ground up the human flesh and fed it to his pigs. He had also mixed it with pork and sold it.
Oh my god, it's like Sweeney Todd.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Might as well have just been making pork.
So, one place I did on my research said that he never actually sold it publicly. However, another place said that the health authority of the area actually had to issue a public warning about any meat that had been bought from his place. because they didn't know for sure whether he'd been actually selling it
or
not.
Can you imagine if you got, like, chlamydia or something from eating sex worker meat?
Yeah. That was not my first call, but yeah.
Yeah, but no.
It's just a possibility, okay?
Can you get chlamydia by eating someone's
meat?
Probably
not.
No.
This is just an Emma.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's just an Emma moment.
Just an Emma moment. So, like, obviously, he's got pigs on his farm.
Yeah.
Pigs have come no problem eating through a human body, because in 2012, an elderly farmer disappeared and they found his dentures alongside the pigs and then little bits of him, like, dotted around their pen. They just completely munched through him. But they don't know whether he died of a heart attack near his pigs and they just ate him or if they actually killed him. There's also rumours that they think Robert might have fed these victims to the pigs whilst they were still alive.
No.
So, yeah, in...
No. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Have some morals, Robert.
In 2007, he was convicted of the second-degree murders of 6 women. So he's been ordered to life in prison, but he's not allowed any parole for 25 years.
Good.
And so he's been charged with the... He was charged with the deaths of 20 other women. However, the charges were stayed in 2010. And I Googled what this means, and it means that they essentially have had to drop the charges because of some potential... It's something like something's gone wrong in the investigation that could have affected the evidence or something like that, essentially, yeah. Something dodgy's happened within the investigation where they've had to dismiss the case. So he's admitted to killing 49. In the end, he's only charged with the second-degree murders of 6 because that's all they can actually find.
Yeah, because they still need evidence even though you admit it.
Yeah. But then he's been charged with the deaths of 20 other women, so they've got evidence for that, but there's something... potential contamination or something.
So he could potentially walk away scot-free?
Well, he's been in prison. No, they've sentenced him to life in prison.
Okay.
With no parole for 25 years.
Yeah.
But that 25 years, I think... So that was in 2007. So that's not that far off that. But he's in his 70s now.
That don't mean nothing.
No.
He should not be allowed to be let free.
How gross is it?
I just hope they don't let him own pigs afterwards.
Well, I was not expecting you to say half of that information. I just thought, yeah, he just murdered people and then just fed the pigs.
Yeah, oh no, it was
not like, oh, he used to like torture them and rape them and, you know.
It's a lot of people, a lot
65 bloody sex workers, though. And then the fact that one person manages to disarm him, stab him, and then gets away scot-free.
Yeah, that. But dude, so 65 were reported missing. He's admitted to killing 49.
So where did the...
Oh, but if you think about it,
but then again, the rest of them could have been bumped off by other serial killers or just gone missing.
Exactly. There's 15. That leaves 15 technically that are unaccounted for.
Yeah.
If it's just out of those 65 that he's killed, so that's, I'm sure 15 people would have gone missing in that, because it was 78 to 2001. That's a long time for just 15 people to go missing. You ignore them.
I mean, it's still a lot.
I mean, it's
in itself, like 49 people, like killing that many people off is. That's a job.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
I'm trying to see what other pictures I had, but I don't
know.
He
looks very happy there, though, to be honest. He's like, look at my pig!
I hate his face. Look at him climbing up like a pig slop thing in his like little sweater vest. And his wellies. he's horrible.
Wow.
Disgusting.
Disgusting!
Today's lesson is, if you're going to a party at the Piggy Palace Good Time Society, you're probably going to be fucking a pig. Thank you very much for listening. Please head to our Instagram, which is at Gin and Spoots, for the photo dump for everything we've talked about in this episode. If you don't have Instagram, we also have a blog, which is ginandspooks.wordpress.com. We also put the photos on there, as well as our references and any other little tidbits of info.
And if you've got any drink suggestions or even ghost stories of your own, please email them to us at ginandspooks@gmail.com.